No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keaton, flight training professionals. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. All right, look. You know, it's on everyone's mind. It was the biggest thing ever. We've got to talk about this. And, of course, the world has changed, but we are glad it's over. And I'm talking about the NBAA show. So there was some other election thing. We'll get to that a little later on. But Ed is with me, and we've been wandering the NBAA show. Last week you heard us walking the aisles. We are actually broadcasting from the number one flight school in the world today, I believe. Is that right?
That would be the best flight school in the United States.
Okay. I say the world. You say the United States. What difference is it, right?
Well, we are the leading aviation training country in the world, so I guess you could probably say that.
Exactly. Come on, take that accolade. Keith, you would go there, wouldn't you?
I'm going there because they all send their people over here to get trained, so why not? Let's take it.
That's right. Yeah, you know, you guys won your big award. You got to start milking this for all it's worth. Let's make America fly again already, all right?
Well, AOPA is moving overseas, so, I mean, eventually it'll be that way. So we might as well just take it now.
I think that is a well way to look at it, for sure. Why not? Like I said, you got to milk this for everything. As our flight training professionals, best flight school in the world. We are actually broadcasting from the facility today, which you finally have your location back after the NBAA show, because they just took over this whole airport last week, right?
Well, actually, for the last 3 weeks. So during the NBAA convention, which is fortunately only every other year, our airplanes are relocated to another part of the airport. Our dispatch area, we relocate to another part of the airport. And it's rather inconvenient, but we're back. We got the airplanes back on the tie downs, back to normal operations. Everybody's happy.
Happy, happy, happy. Absolutely. And, you know, last week we talked about some of the things that we saw, and we said we had more we wanted to cover on today's show, and that's what we're going to do. But we're literally sitting in the offices of flight training professionals reflecting on what we saw last week because, you know, some of the stuff, yeah, there was just so much. We had to kind of sit down and kind of, you know, take some mental notes about what we were absorbing here to share with our passengers on the show today. So here's the deal. You know, when we're walking the aisles, first of all, the NBAA show, the National Business Aviation Association trade show, is the best trade show in the world for free stuff. You know what I'm saying? They give away stuff. They got all these tchotchkes, these little squeezable balls and things. I got a whole bag full of tchotchkes. Did you score like that or what?
I do not pick up that junk because all I'm going to do is throw it away.
It's not junk. It's free. That makes it...
it's junk.
It's awesome. Anyway, they give away a lot of stuff. You can pick up some cool things, but you can learn a few things about what's going to happen, especially for general aviation, because it kind of tends to filter technology-wise down from these big corporate jets down to, you know, these Cessnas as far as the technology and stuff like that is concerned. But we saw a few things that we're going to talk about today. And then Keith actually walked around the show with some friends of his that were actually looking to buy a plane. So we'll kind of cover both those bases on Just Plane Radio today. So first, what caught your eye, Keith? Or not, Ed. I'll go with Ed first.
Yeah, I'm Ed. He's Keith.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think when we're at the static display at the airport where the actual airplanes were, the top thing for me to see was the Cirrus Vision Jet. That was my first time to actually get up close and personal and spend some time talking to Matt at Cirrus about what the airplane's capable of and the price point and weight and balance and trying to get some real data on it. And
so this is Cirrus's first jet, right?
Correct. It's their first jet.
And this is what was getting all the buzz. You know, Tom Haynes from AOPA was talking about that a couple weeks ago, saying this is the thing. It got certified right before the show. They had it on display. I will tell you, I was shocked. I mean, they had a couple planes there, and that was it. They had a very small little footprint here at the airport. However, that was getting a lot of buzz, that Vision Jet, right?
Yeah, well, it's not their typical show. They're usually going to be at the Oshkosh's and the EA Air Venture, that type of event, that they're not generally coming to the business jet event because they don't have a business jet. That's also why you didn't see a Cessna 172 out there or even a Beechcraft Baron, because it's not the right show for those airplanes. So it was very interesting that they brought it here, and they did because it's a jet, and so it does fit in. It's was the smallest jet out there, but it could be interpreted as the personal business jet.
Yeah, well, it'd be the stepping stone for the person who's thinking about getting out of piston-driven aircraft and jumping up into jet stuff and, like, kicking up the speed, what, 100 miles per hour or what, 100 knots more, I think, wasn't it? Something like that?
Yeah, that it's about 100 knots faster than the piston, I believe.
Keith, did you check that out too, or no?
Well, that's what I was told. Mm-hmm. However, they didn't let you go in that airplane. I looked at that airplane with the couple that I was here as well.
If you were to get in it, would you have been able to tell how fast it goes?
No.
Okay. Well, there. See, you got to fly it to know for sure. But they say
they've got the data on it.
Yeah.
So he told us it's 100 knot faster.
Yeah.
So, and it's a single engine jet, which is a little bit interesting. Single engine right on the tail, so it's centerline thrust. So it looks like a good little airplane. However, it wasn't going to meet the needs of the couple that I was with.
Yes, they wanted something much, much bigger. And we're going to get to that in just a bit, because they were really cool folks. We met them when they were walking around with Keith. But we're going to talk about it from that perspective in just a bit. I want to focus on some of the cool stuff we just saw walking around first, and this Vision Jet was one of them. What, you were one of the cool people we saw?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean,
yeah, moving on. All right, so...
Once again, it's not about you. It's about Greg.
Yes, actually, I was more enthralled with the people he was walking around with than Keith. I was like, oh, it's Keith. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Oh, who are these people? You know, and they're, yeah. But anyway, this Vision Jet, I don't know. Do you think it has a future? I mean, Cirrus has done phenomenally well with their line of, piston-driven stuff. But this jet thing, I mean, what was funny, when we were talking to the sales guy, he said they already have 500 deposits on this jet. So it's crazy. They don't have to do any marketing whatsoever because they got enough business to do them for 5 to 10 years already. Is that what you got out of that too?
Yeah. They're very comfortable with their book of orders. Of course, that's got to materialize. They got to start producing the airplane, delivering the airplane to see if people really keep their positions.
Yeah. Well, how does that work? You just lose your deposit if you decide you're not going to buy it? I would think everybody who put down a deposit is just getting in line like it's the most popular aircraft out there, like the latest iPhone or something.
If they walked away, yeah, they would lose their deposit, but they can also more than likely sell their position or take delivery of the airplane and immediately sell it to someone else if it's really sought after. That was happening quite a bit with the Citation Mustangs when they first came out. When it finally came to market, they were already past that airplane. They were in another airplane, but they kept their positions and either sold their positions or took delivery of it and then turned around and sold it immediately.
Hmm. Sold their positions for more money? So this is like a supply and demand kind of thing, I would think, isn't it, Keith?
Most definitely. That happens with pretty much any airplane that comes out on the market.
Yeah, what is that deposit? Maybe I need to get in on some of this action next time I hear this is happening.
Don't worry about it, Greg.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to let me have your credit card? That's all it takes, isn't it?
For that one, because I'm going to take the position.
You're going to take the position? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll buy it, and then I'll sell it to you for double.
Yeah, no, it's my credit card. I'll sell it to you for double.
Oh, no, that's not what I was thinking. Anyway, we'll get back on track. This aircraft does look very promising with the demand they already have pent up for it, which is phenomenal. And he said the first aircraft, they're expecting to deliver a few here by the end of the year, I believe. Isn't that what he said, Ed?
Yeah, that's what he said. And their concept is that they're going to try to take their SR-22 owners and move them up into this airplane. And when you look at the layout of the cockpit, you look at the setup of the avionics, they're identical. And that's super important for that smooth transition. Not to mention, as I've said before, I really like the mentality that the Cirrus training department has when they're training their pilots. And they're actually going to keep that training in-house and do it just the way they've been doing it with the current SR-20s and 22s. And they're actually moving the training center to Tennessee from Minnesota. That was the only drawback, is having to go to Minnesota for training.
Well, okay, but yeah, you're in a jet that goes 100, you know, knots faster. You'll be there in no time. So they got that base covered. But I do wonder, and you guys can answer this, going from piston to jet is usually a huge transition. Am I right there, Keith?
For most people, it is, yes.
But this, the way they're taking it, they're making it much easier, because if you're used to your Cirrus aircraft, you'll be able to make that jump much more, I don't know, feasibly, right?
Yeah, because you don't have to learn a whole new avionics package and everything else. Now it's just a matter of managing the speed. The airplane flies pretty much the same, so it's now managing the speed, getting your thought process to be moving a lot faster.
Very nice. Now, what do you think? You going to buy one, Ed?
With your credit card? Yeah.
No. Okay. Which? Well, my credit card is Keith's credit card. I'll sell you his spot for triple.
No.
No. Wait. I'm going to work a deal here eventually. All right. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was the youngest pilot in Pan Am history. When I was 4, the pilot let me ride in the cockpit and fly the plane with him. And I was 4, and I was great. And I would have landed it, but my dad wanted us to go back to our seats.
Airplanes!
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. That's where we are today. We're broadcasting from their facility right here at Orlando Executive Airport. They're rated the best flight school in the world. That's what AOPA said. I might have it slightly off there, but who cares? Anyway, we're reflecting on what we saw at the NBAA show that was here in Orlando a couple weeks ago. Saw some great stuff. The Vision aircraft from Cirrus, big hit. A lot of people stopping by and checking it out. It'll be anxious to take that for a test drive soon. Have you already set that up, Ed?
Yeah, I put your name in the hat to win one. Oh, no, that was another thing.
That was another thing. Okay, yeah. But we can do that, couldn't we? We can make that happen. You know people.
I know people, but I think they also want to see your bank account before you take a test drive.
Okay, that won't work. So we got to show them Keith, or maybe we'll have him lead us around the show, and we'll get more more juice that way. All right, well, let's move on to some other things because, you know, that was one big hit of the show. Something that caught your eye that we never had an opportunity to talk to the guy, but we talked to his assistant, was at that DC-3 plane they had. Did you go back and talk to them the next day at all or see what was going on?
No, I had AOPA in here doing some videoing for the award. So.
Yes, you have things to do. He's a big muckety-muck now with this award. You got to be careful with these guys. You can hardly get their head through the door, but that's okay.
Look who's talking.
I know. I can do this because of me. Right, of course I know. I know. I can relate to where you're coming from. But this DC-3 was one of those old classic airplanes, that you see in the Indiana Jones movies and things like that. But this guy flew this in for the show, according to the guy that was, helping people in and out of the plane. He was invited by this, I don't know, what the other company. Do you remember who it was?
I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but they were a jet timeshare type company that they were promoting timeshares in the jets they have on their fleet.
Yes, so maybe you can, timeshare this. I don't think that was the deal, but regardless, the guy owns this up in Georgia. He flew it down for the show just to come and be an invite of them. And it showcases airplane, and everybody was checking it out. That was an impressive aircraft. It caught your eye big time, right?
Well, yeah, because it's got two engines. They're round engines, and it's got a tailwheel. It's almost the perfect airplane.
Okay, if you say that's all it takes. See, I was impressed because, hey, that's the plane from Indiana Jones. I mean, isn't it, or is it?
No.
It's close, isn't it?
No.
It's a tail dragger. It's one of those old-timey airplanes you see in all the classic films. Hey, Keith can't relate to this, but Ed, you've seen movies.
Yeah, no. Okay, now if you said it was the airplane they use in Band of Brothers, yes.
That's okay, I'll say that.
It's the same as a C-47, so yes.
Okay, fair enough. But it was an impressive aircraft, and it was really, he had it decked out to the nines. It set up like a business aircraft because it had a couch in it and very classic looking on the inside and just spotless.
Yeah, it was definitely not a cargo hauler. It was converted to an executive transport. So they did have a nice interior in it, and they've had some upgraded avionics and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm guessing it burned a little bit of fuel, though, on its way down here from Georgia compared to this Vision jet that Cirrus did. Or do you think the jet versus these twin are about the same? What do you think, Keith?
No, I think it sips the fuel and burns an awful lot of oil.
Is that how it works?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, they're good at fuel burn, but they suck at burning oil.
Not really. They're not good at fuel burn or oil. The oil consumption is almost as much as the fuel consumption.
Ah, okay. All right. So, they got a double whammy going there. But
they typically carry a 55-gallon drum of oil on those airplanes.
Well, that doesn't sound very smart.
No, because, when they get where they're going, they just start pumping oil into the system. So
yeah, they have to. Why do they burn so much? But they've learned since then. But they still fly them, despite that, I guess, right?
Well, yeah, because they're great airplanes. They were great when they manufactured them, and they're still flying today. It's one of my favorite airplanes, personally. So I'd love to get a type rating in there.
Yeah. So you haven't. You haven't flown one, or have
no,
you?
I have not.
Yeah, what about you, Ed?
No, I haven't.
It's on the list, though?
It's on the list.
On the list. Now, what would you do if, you had access to one of those planes? First of all, could you even afford to fly it?
Well, based on the fuel burn and the oil burn, no.
Okay, fair enough. But it's way more expensive for a plane like that, even comparing it to one of these corporate jets that we were seeing, you think? Or do you think it'd be one half dozen the other, Keith?
Oh, no, you'd be able to buy that airplane a whole lot cheaper than one of the corporate jets. So you look at the money difference there, you could put an awful lot of fuel and oil in it for that. The problem is, today people just don't want to go that slow. Everybody's looking for the speed. And that's why things like the Vision Jet are hitting the market, because people want that speed. They want to get where they're going fast.
Fair enough. Makes sense. All right. So that was the DC-3. That was kind of a surprise. We didn't expect to see that at the NBAA show, but that was a fun little side attraction here at the show. What else caught your eye there, Ed? What do you think?
Well, always liked the Honda jet. and spent a quick little bit looking at getting inside and taking a look around there. I think that is a great design. Of course, we've been talking about that for 10 years.
Yeah, I think this show is kind of like their coming out party, wasn't it? Because they were actually flying the Honda jet, doing test flights all week.
Yeah, they were. They were based out of here and doing demo flights. Yeah, I think this is the first show that they, or maybe the second show since they got their production certification. I think it was may have been right before the show last year out in Vegas. So they're pushing. They're putting airplanes out in the market. You're seeing more of them. There's a couple that come in here on a regular basis. So that was always a good thing to see. The other thing that I did spend some time with customers myself, walking them around, looking at their next airplane. They sure like the Citation M2. In fact, I had to pry him out of the airplane. He liked it so much. His wife was ready to go. So I said, you better leave if you ever want to get this airplane, because she's over there thinking it's time to go.
Yeah. Well, okay, so explain that. The C2 is what?
The Citation M2.
Or M2. Is how big? Give us some stats on that one.
It's bigger than a Breadbuck, smaller than a Citation.
Well, that doesn't help. Come on. Jeez, he lives and breathes these airplanes, but you got to be familiar with the line to kind of know right off the bat. But an M2 is what?
It would be bigger than the Honda jet, bigger than the Citation Mustang. It's actually the CJ1, the smallest of the CJ series, but remanufactured winglets, new engines, new interior, and equipped with the Garmin 3000 flight deck. So it's got the latest Garmin technology in it, and that's really what attracted my customer, because that's all he's ever flown. He learned to fly in a 172 with the G1000, went to the 182 with G1000, now has a turbo 206 with the G1000. But the issue is, they want to get there faster, they want to get to further distances in the same amount of time, and the other absolute in this equation is they must have a potty.
They must have a restroom or a head. It's not called a head. What is it called?
It's called a lav.
A lav, yeah, one of those. Okay. A place to go, literally.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
I didn't see Jimmy Buffett wandering the NBAA show here in Orlando last week. But I was looking for him. I was looking for him, John Travolta, the lead singer, Iron Maiden. I was looking for all these celebrities. Harrison Ford? Nowhere. I think they knew where I was, and they avoided me at all costs. But maybe next time, maybe next year when it's in Vegas, we'll go out there and I'll hobnob with the celebrities eventually. Now, Ed had to split because, you know, he has big things to do. He doesn't have time for us anymore now that the flight school's won this big award. So he had to move on, but I'm still here with Keith. And Keith, you were wandering around with a couple that was looking for an airplane. But I got to tell you, Eva, before we get to that, that I found a plane that I think I want. And you know what? I've been talking about the Quest Kodiak, remember?
Oh, yeah. You've been talking about that for a long time.
Yeah. Well, when we were talking about the EM2 and we were over there in the Cessna division, I was talking to the sales guy, Kelly, and I said, look, you know, I went from the Grand Caravan and then I looked at this Quest Kodiak, you know, what? And then I'm sold on that. I'm thinking that's going to be better for me. It takes off shorter distance. He goes, oh, wait, hold on. Let me tell you the facts. And long story short, he sold me, and now I'm back to a Grand Caravan. Go figure.
Now, how did he do that? I got to hear this one.
Well, first off, I told him, you know, he said, do you have any money? And I said, well, I have Keith's credit card. He goes, okay, let's talk. And that was the first step, and I got over that hurdle. But he basically told me that the stats in the Grand Caravan and comparing the two, you know, they're a little bit more conservative. You know, he's giving me a sales pitch, of course. However, he didn't bring up the fact that, you know, the Cessna folks would have a much bigger dealer network and supports, you know, for warranty service and things like that, because they're, you know, all over the world and a little bit more established. You know, there's not many, you know, the Kodiaks in the field and that kind of thing. I was like, you know what? He's got a point. And he's like, you know, you got a problem with your Grand Caravan, you just bring it to us. We'll take care of everything for you, right?
Well, that is a very, very valid point that he has there. However, the Quest Kodiak, they use that thing all over the world as well, and they use it in the backwoods stuff.
Now you're trying to flip me back. So he kind of sold me. He did his job. So we'll go back and forth, I'm sure, but I don't know. Gives me something to think about. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
This test today, it's important.
I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry. Okay, now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
I'm learning to fly around the clouds. But what goes up must come down.
When you want it to, of course. If you're a pilot, you don't want it to come down by itself. But that's why you go to a flight school like Flight Training Professionals and get properly trained. I am Greg, your co-pilot. I'm with Captain Keith right now. We are your crew here on Just Plain Radio, reflecting on the NBAA show, the National Business Aviation Association trade show that was right here in our hometown of Orlando, last week. So we're kind of reflecting on what we saw. Now, Keith actually, he wore a different hat. Me and Ed wandered the aisles, and we, are aviation enthusiasts, and we're looking for the latest and greatest cool planes for you to learn about, and we'll share it. We've shared those with you. But Keith went in a different role as a buyer, which is what really the show is for people to come into town, check out the latest and greatest at business jets and corporate travel options, and make a purchase. I mean, and that's why, they're trying to sell you these planes and that kind of stuff. So, there's some heavy hitters that come into town for this show every time. I didn't see any of the celebrities, but obviously everybody walking around, if they're a buyer, is probably doing pretty well. And if they're looking at a new corporate jet for the business and that kind of thing. And you were with a couple from where, Keith?
They're actually from Cross City, Florida.
So they were just down the road?
Just down the road from us, or up the road from us.
Okay, fair enough. All right. And so right now they have what kind of plane, and what were they looking to upgrade to?
They've got a Cessna 206.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful airplane, and does the job very well for them. But like most people, they want a little bit more speed. And so they were looking to, let's see what our options are to upgrade.
Okay. So they have a business, I assume, and he's not flying the plane himself, or she isn't, right? They have a pilot that works for him. Is that what's going on, or what?
They do. I fly the airplane for him.
Ah.
And so he took some lessons many, many years ago, but never got a certificate, kind of like somebody else we know. But he doesn't want to get a certificate either. He just enjoys, watching me fly the airplane for him.
He wants you to do all the work and him to benefit from all the benefits of having a plane at your disposal, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we took him around and we showed him a couple of different options that he has available to him. And he's really liking the Epic. And it's a single-engine turboprop. And it's a new airplane. They're trying to get it certified right now, but they've been around for 10 years in the experimental market, and there's about 300 of those out in the flying around right now, and it's called the LT, and it's got a only turboprop that I'm aware of that has a full payload. You get full fuel, load all the seats, put the baggage in it, and you'll still have room to spare, and you can go that way. Most airplanes you can't. You have to sacrifice fuel to keep it within the weight range.
So it has a huge carry capacity. So how many seat airplane is this, if you put seats all the way back?
It's six seats, and you can load adults in the very aft seats.
Wait, in a 206? I thought that was a six-seater too, right?
It is. However, this one's got a whole lot more room in it. It's club seating. And you can get two guys in there my size sitting across from each other, and you'll still have about a foot of room in between your knees.
So two Sasquatches and four regular people will fit in this comfortably.
They will. They will, absolutely. And have room to move, which is very unusual. That's been one of the issues that a lot of the VLJs, the very light jets, have had. People don't like sitting there with their knees, you know, intertwined with each other.
Right.
Know, kind of invading personal space, if you will.
Yeah, they fly more like a race car kind of seating. Does that make sense? Isn't sure. that more accurate? So, but this is a little bit more comfort, a little bit more room, a lot faster, I would imagine, than a 206. Am I right?
A lot faster. This is a 300-knot airplane. They're going to lose a little speed with the certification just because of how it has to be done with Part 23 certification, but it'll climb to flight level 340 in 15 minutes, fully loaded, which is pretty impressive, and still get 300 knots out of it.
Nice. So what is the carry capacity of this Epic you're talking about?
It's got a payload after full fuel of 1,120 pounds.
That is pretty good. Now, 206 fully equipped, those are pretty good carrying planes too, though, right?
Well, they are, but, you know, you can't, very seldom can you take a 206 fully loaded with fuel, and you can't put six adults in there, certainly. You know, this airplane, you could put six adults, full fuel, and all the baggage.
Got it. All right, so they're looking at that, but it still has to go through the certification process. So what did Epic tell you in that regard? How soon are they going to do that?
Well, they're hoping for probably spring, April. But more realistically, they're looking at making the announcement at Oshkosh next September.
Got it. What about price? What'd they tell you? Like, if you buy it today, we'll knock off 10% kind of deal? They do one of those on you, or what?
Well, they've got a very interesting program. $2.95 million for the airplane, and only a 1% deposit for to hold your position. So for $29,500, you can get a position on this airplane, and it is fully refundable if you change your mind. Most airplanes are looking for a minimum of a 20% deposit, and a lot of times it's non-refundable. So they told us straight up, we're not looking for your money. We don't want your money up front. We don't need you to fund our program or anything like that. We've got all the funding we need. We're just looking for people to buy airplanes. So an unusual setup when you look at the new manufacturers out there.
Now, how did it compare? What'd they tell you, like, comparing it to the, you know, this Vision jet from Cirrus? It had 500 pre-orders. Have they done pretty well with Epic, or did they say?
They haven't said. They're kind of more looking at the new Cessna Denali that's coming out and the TBM market. And so they're kind of pushing those is really what they're competition is, and right now they're surpassing that competition. Of course, the Cessna Denali is not out yet. Cessna's got some time to make a few changes to try and compete with this airplane a little bit more aggressively.
Now, this is a turboprop, right? So what made them go turboprop versus one of these corporate jets? Is it just purely a price thing and operational costs are way more, or what?
Operational costs on a turboprop are a lot less than a jet, and so And keep in mind that a turboprop is a jet engine with a prop on it. That's the only thing that you got to look at. And so having a single-engine turboprop, you got a very, very reliable engine, and you know, you've got one power plant instead of two that you have on a lot of these smaller jets and, of course, all the big jets. So the operating cost is a lot less, and you're getting a lot of speed out of it.
Okay, now the couple you were walking around with, obviously, I think the guy owns a business. Is that right? Isn't that what it was?
They do. They own a business together, he and his wife.
Okay, so did he kind of like, I like this airplane? She goes like, no, I'll make the decisions kind of thing? Because that's usually how it works. The wife makes the real decision. So was she driving this, pointer towards the Epic or what?
No, actually, has been in the past a little bit nervous to fly, but when she got in this airplane, she's like, I really like this airplane.
What'd she like about it?
She liked the room that it had in it, because, you know, she flies regularly in the 206, and it's a little bit cramped. She's not a big lady at all. She's very, very, very small, but she realizes that, you know, having a little bit more elbow room, even for somebody her size, it's kind of nice to have,
yeah.
And you've certainly got that in this airplane.
Well, it doesn't have a lav, right?
It does not have a lav.
It just one of those little portable, what do we call them again? Little Johns?
Little Johns with a Lady J adapter.
Okay. I'll throw that one in free for you. What do you say? And then we'll get this, sure enough. So were they locked in on that one, or did you show them some other planes too, and you guys just ended up at this Epic? What do you think?
Well, we did look at some other airplanes as well, but they've got some requirements that have to be met, and one of them is a short field performance. One of the airports that they go into regularly is only 3,800 feet, and getting a jet in and out of 3,800 feet is pretty difficult to do. And so this airplane certainly performs and will perform very well in a short field airport like that.
Oh, and what makes it do that? I mean, just the way they've designed the airplane, or because it's a turboprop, or what?
A little bit of both. Jet engines, you have a little bit different performance requirements that you have to have, and turboprops can meet that performance because they got these great big props on the front of these things, so they can meet that performance a little bit easier.
So you would be the pilot for them, or one of the pilots they use. How much do you believe your personal preference played into this decision to go Epic? Are you going to say publicly?
I will say publicly that they do rely pretty heavily on what I say, because I'm the one who's going to fly the airplane.
And it's an airplane you want to fly.
And it's an airplane I want
to fly. Okay, that's what I was getting at. All right, we got this other thing that happened this week called an election. That's coming up next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Awareness and common sense go a long way on a boat. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you how to avoid violating basic boating etiquette next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Dive boat etiquette is about safety and respecting the crew and your fellow divers. First, ask for permission to board before just jumping on deck and setting up your gear. Once you do, keep it clear of walkways and stowed out of the way. And pay close attention to the briefing. You may have heard it before, but that doesn't mean everyone else on the boat has. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Can I let you in on a little secret?
A secret? Just you and me? Sorry, that had to come out. Go on.
I'm not going golfing. I'm taking my first flying lessons today. I always dreamed of being a pilot.
Oh, Jay, that's fantastic. And I totally get it. I had a crush on the pilot who flew the crop duster back home. He had big, broad shoulders and a deep, husky voice that, in retrospect, could have been pesticide-related.
Can you promise me a sky that's trouble-free and clear so it's safe for me to fly?
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith, right now. We are your crew navigating the latest aviation news and information and reflecting, especially this week, on what happened at the NBAA show here in Orlando, National Business Aviation Association trade show. Now, You know, the first day of the event, that Wednesday morning, they had a keynote speaker from the New York Times. He was he's written a book about the Wright brothers. Sounds fascinating. He gave a great presentation on what he found out about the Wright brothers and the birth of flying. I highly recommend you go Google it. And he's from the New York Times. I don't have his name in front of me, and I apologize, but you could easily find this new book on the Wright brothers, which I'm sure is all over Barnes & Noble and Amazon and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of his dissertation about his new book that he's written, he took a few questions from the crowd. And, you know, this is all these people from, you know, the MBAA world and business, corporate travel and jets and things like that, manufacturers. And the last question, some guy asked him about the election, you know, because literally MBAA show was the week before the election that happened this week, obviously. And he got up there and he said, to paraphrase, like, he can't believe anybody would vote for an idiot like Trump. And he just went on for like, you know, a minute railing on him. And you could hear a pin drop in this audience. Now, I'm not going to say which way the pendulum swings politically at the NBAA show, but I'm guessing there's a lot of people that were possibly on Trump's side. And it felt a little awkward in that room that morning, and was interesting to witness. However, you know, I don't know that he necessarily picked that up himself, and everybody was polite and just kind of moved on, and that was it. Here we are, you know, a week later, and everybody knows what happened with the election. And I would imagine he could have been one of those people that were running through the streets this week. I don't know, in New York, but it would have been a interesting look on his face, I would imagine, because I'm guessing he was shocked, as well as a lot of other people that were, including myself. I got to say, I didn't see this coming. But here we are. This is what we have. We got a President Trump coming into office. And the question is not whether you're for him or against him. The question for me is, what is this going to mean for aviation and private pilots and that kind of thing? What do you think, Keith?
Well, I can only assume that since Trump is big into aviation himself, he's got his own 757, that he's going to be pro-aviation, which can only be good for all of us in the aviation community.
That's what I would think, but I don't know. I mean, do we have any, other than knowing that he has the Trump plane, have you heard any, you know, chats or him talk about, you know, corporate travel in that regard, is flying airplanes and things?
I have not heard him personally talk about those kinds of things, but I can, again, make the assumption, if you go back to when Obama took office and how he was criticizing General Motors and stuff for taking three different airplanes to Washington, D.C., you know, why didn't everybody just ride in one airplane? And, of course, it's because the insurance companies don't allow all the knowledge to fly on one airplane. If the airplane happens to go down, you lose the whole company, right? So Trump doesn't have that. You know, he's got the mentality. He's a businessman. He knows, he understands that kind of stuff. So I think he's going to be pro-business as far as aviation is concerned, and he's going to help us out.
Yeah, well, I hope you're right. I mean, I don't know if it would have been different on the other side or what, but this is what the reality is. And the fact that he does have such a cool plane, because I've been up close to it. I did see him when he came through Orlando a few weeks ago, and that is an impressive plane. And anybody who flies a plane like that needs to just open it up to us, because now that he's president, don't we have a right to see his plane, to be able to just come on board and check it out, like, hey, I just want to take a peek, you know, that kind of thing?
Probably not.
What?
And
come on.
Even more so now.
He's working for us now, so we call the shots. Isn't that how it's supposed to work?
Well, he would himself probably would let you in there. However, the Secret Service might have another...
Yeah, they might have an issue. Yeah. Okay. Well, especially if it came to me, I'm guessing. But, yeah. I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see. But, you know, and I will tell you, when we were at the NBAA show, especially at the convention center, I was kind of listening. You know, we went to a media breakfast, and we listened to what some of the folks from the Aviation Caucus were talking about, because obviously they're looking at the future. What is a new administration's going to mean for them and the Aviation Caucus? And, you know, it's large. It's the largest, caucus in Congress, and they said obviously there's going to be some new blood in there and that kind of thing. Actually, we didn't see a lot of change that much in Congress. So maybe that's a good thing as far as the Aviation Caucus as well. We just had a change on the president's side. And what does that mean as far as user fees and things like that? I think still remains to be seen, because some of the user fee stuff did come from the Republican side. Did it not?
It did. However, again, you got to understand that, you got to remember, Donald is a businessman. He understands business. He doesn't understand government. And so I think if he puts his business mind in there, I think he's going to, if I can use the term, trump some of those things and shut them down.
Yes. Well, time will tell. And it was interesting because, you know, a couple of years ago when I was at the NBAA show, I would say there was a little bit more outward, you know, promotion of National Business Aviation Association members, you know, verbally, you know, voicing their side for a, you know, Republican side of things. At the time, 2 years ago, Obama was pushing the user fee thing, and they were fighting this, and there was a lot of vocal opposition to it. It was right before the election, and of course, he won. Last year, they kind of reeled it in a little, and this year, they were kind of reeling it in a little, too, and then, you know, Trump gets in. So who knows what it means, but hopefully it's a good thing for us private pilots, and we'll have to leave it at that for now and wait with the rest of you. So, till at least next week, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.